This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hello, guys. Welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast, Matt's premiere episode. Wow. Pretty standard first episode. Loved the way Matt just naturally fit into the role, but we're going to recap that in a little bit. First, we just wanted to say a quick hello to the one and only Benjamin Higgins. Hello.
What's up, Ash? Well, this is an episode to remember. It's going to be a great season. We're off two great seasons back to back. How lucky are we? Ashley, today we have a huge podcast in front of us. We're going to break down the episode with Blake Hortzman. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've been watching on Instagram, but he loves breaking down these episodes. I think he's going to be great at it today with us. And the one thing you get with Blake is he doesn't hold back. And so I think we're going to have an interesting breakdown today. I'm pumped for it. We'll give our opinions on that in a little bit. But Ashley, we do want to tell everybody out there listening, the holidays are over, yes. But it doesn't mean you still can't get yourself really cool gifts. We have Almost Famous merchandise for sale right now at myfanthreads.com/almostfamous. Yes, we have our own merch line.
We had some stuff available at our live show when we were able to do live shows. Not only is this just Almost Famous merch, so of course Ben is included in this, but like Ben's company, My Fan Threads, is doing the merch. So you're basically supporting Ben Higgins in two ways by purchasing some merch. It's really fun stuff. And because our podcast name is just like kind of universal, you can wear this and just, you know, just be like, hey, what's up? I'm Almost Famous.
Almost Famous. Aren't we all just a Almost Famous? There's a good country song out right now about being famous in your hometown. And it's incredible. It rings true to Warsaw, Indiana, right? Like, you know everybody there. Everybody has a reason to be there. Everybody has a story to tell. And I think it's the same for anybody out there listening. So, yes, go to myfanthreads.com/almostfamous. Ashley, before we take a break here and bring Blake on, I just had a really emotional moment in my life. You want to hear it?
Oh my goodness, yes.
So I'm a fan of the Dan Le Batard show. I don't know if Jared watches or if you watch this. This is
never heard of it.
It's a really interesting show. Dan Le Batard's on ESPN, which is obviously owned by Disney, and he's been on for 10 years. And the cool thing about Dan Le Batard is his dad immigrated from Cuba and is able to be on the show with him. His dad is an amazing character named Poppy. Well, ESPN and Dan are parting ways after today. Okay. So they did a really cool, like, send-off where they kind of showed all the episodes in the past and good memories for all of us who have tuned in and watched it and gotten our sports knowledge and pop culture knowledge from the show. But guess what the very last thing Dan Le Batard had to do, like, very last thing before he went?
Talk about who his favorite lead on The Bachelor was?
No. He had it close. He had to announce that The Bachelor is airing on ABC tonight.
Cool.
And he was so frustrated. He even says, he's like, this is ridiculous. The day before I leave a 10-year tenure, I have to talk about The Bachelor. Well, hey, we're here to talk about The Bachelor. We're going to keep talking about The Bachelor. If we didn't talk about The Bachelor, that would be weird. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Blake Hortzman on, breaking down this week's premiere episode of Matt James's season. As promised, our next guest is somebody who is familiar with breaking down the episodes. In fact, he does it every week on the Behind the Rose podcast. You can listen to that wherever you listen to podcasts. He also does it on his Instagram. He was born and raised in a small town of Bailey, Colorado. Woo-hoo, Colorado. Blake Hortzman joins us right now. You would know him from season 14 of The Bachelorette. And at that point, he fell for Becca Kufrin. We're going to talk about that in here in just a bit. But until then, Blake, how you doing?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, Blake. Okay, so we want to recap the episode with you, and then there's a couple headlines that we'd like to talk about that pertain you. So
okay, let's do it. Let's do it. I blame all those headlines on you, Ashley, for the record.
I'm not too innocent in all this. All right. So top of the episode, very standard, right? Except for the fact that Matt's never, done a season before. Yeah. But for some reason, it felt like we've all known him, right? Like, mm-hmm. I felt very familiar. Is this just because, like, we're part of, like, the Bachelor family and some way or another maybe we've talked to him? Or do you think that it's because he just is natural on a camera?
You know, I do think it maybe could be because we're in Bachelor Nation and, you know, we kind of see everything and I've seen every, you know, promotion and all that kind of stuff. But also, I mean, he was, you know, obviously the quarantine crew, I feel like kind of made Matt like in a weird way, like the quarantine crew was his season in a weird way, where I think just the like regular fans out there who maybe don't follow social media as much, those kinds of fans don't know Matt like we do. And it's going to be interesting to see him develop and us like learn, you know, and I feel like we actually got a lot of him tonight, which was pretty cool.
What do you think of him as the Bachelor?
You know, so I'll be honest, I was worried because obviously when you start, whether you go on the Bachelorette or the Bachelor, you kind of get a taste for like how it works, the experience kind of is. And, you know, for Matt, I'm like, oh my God, it's just going to be like sink or swim for Matt, you know? But I think the beginning of the episode, they kind of, you know, had that sit down with Matt and Chris and they were able to ask some questions. So I think they're aware of that, you know, and they're going to try and introduce him to the audience, but also like, I just hope they don't like take advantage of him not really understanding how the process works, if you know what I mean. I was a little worried for him.
Okay, well, you mentioned the quarantine crew, and I just have to say that I feel like the Matt that we see on TV is like so much more buttoned up and gentle than the Matt that we see in the quarantine crew. I think that with Tyler, he may get a little fratty, you know, he's with his boys, but like this is Matt with the ladies, and I love this Matt with the ladies. Like he just seems very approachable. So gentlemanly. This Matt is so fantastic. Not to say that the other Matt's not fantastic, but you know, he's very swoon.
Right, absolutely.
He's swoon worthy.
Yeah. And I think he did. He handled night one fantastic. I could tell he was a little nervous, of course, like everybody is. But I thought he handled it fantastic. And I agree. I hope it's almost not too buttoned up. Like I hope he lets the guard down a little bit. You know, I hope he's able to show more of himself as, you know, he gets more comfortable in the process. But I guess we'll see.
Well, is it weird that I say that I feel like this is more him than the Matt that's with Tyler sometimes? I feel like he's a little bit more innocent than he comes across on social media.
I don't know. I think the more you hanging with your boys is more you than you around cameras with producers in your ear. I think the other part is more him, but that's not a bad thing. You know, that's not a bad thing.
It's, you know, there is something about the nerves being endearing, though. I think that's one thing that we can take away from night one for Matt is, it's relatable. He isn't used to this. There is no practice in this. He didn't do the big LA media tour, right? I mean, we have to consider that too. That helped prep me. Like you go and you do GMA and you go and do Today Show, and then you sit down in a room and you have 100 different media outlets throwing questions at you and you have a suit on while you do it. And you're starting to feel like the Bachelor. You're starting to really get into that like whole mindset. He doesn't have that. Like he goes right into Nemacolin with no media experience, no celebrity or really like seeing people. You know, typically we get like the paparazzi shot of the Bachelor or Bachelorette walking out of Good Morning America. He doesn't have that moment. And so this is his first experience with a red carpet and cameras and Chris Harrison and beautiful people walking up to him. And I find that fun. Like I think that's really exciting to watch. Because his reaction, yes, there's cameras. And yes, he's going to be buttoned up. Like, I think we can all know that Matt James is going to be so buttoned up for as long as he possibly can until the show, in a sense, breaks him away from the button-upness. But we get to kind of watch this journey unfold. And I think we should all expect that. I think it's going to be a blast.
Yeah. Yeah, I like – that's a good point. Because, honestly, if you look at it, if you kind of, like, step away and look at it, Matt has a lot against him. You know what I mean? Like he has a lot. I feel like he doesn't have a ton of like advantages going into being the Bachelor in this episode, whether it be the pandemic or there be he didn't have a season before. So like the fact that I think he's got so much against him and he's still going to succeed, I think says a lot about Matt.
There's two things I didn't mention that I raised a brow because of. They didn't mention that he was friends with Tyler and that's how we know him. And they also didn't mention that he didn't specifically mention that he'd been signed up for Claire's season. Yeah. They alluded to it.
That's a good point. I was afraid of that, honestly. I was like, are we going to know Matt the Bachelor or Matt Tyler's best friend? I was afraid of that, you know? But I think you're right. I think they didn't mention athlete. They didn't mention, you know, the NFL thing. They didn't mention any of that. It was like they wanted us to get to know the Matt, you know, as the Bachelor, which I like. I thought that was a great move.
Yeah. I love the way that they said, when you know, you know. And it was just like, oh, he was in our interview room and we knew.
They chose him not because he was Tyler's best friend, right? I mean,
right.
To be quite frank, Like, he doesn't need Tyler right now. Like, he needs to be Matt, and he needs to invest in the show, like, which is a crazy part of the show. You're kind of pushed away from your friends. You don't have any confidants around you. But he's no longer Matt from the Quarantine Crew. He is Matt James, the Bachelor. And I, as Ashley just said, like, I want them to highlight Matt James. Like, I don't need Matt to be somebody's sidekick. Like, this isn't, he's not that anymore. He is going to flourish and run this show on his own. Well, one really, like, crucial part of the show is how the show really started. And it's Matt James sitting down with Chris Harrison and discussing Matt's concerns and his nerves going into being the Bachelor. Is not, he's worried. You know, obviously, we're three white people sitting here talking right now. Mm-hmm. But I learned a lot in that moment of how real the concerns are, that he won't please anybody, that he doesn't know who's going to be on his side, and he's going to make one side mad and make the other side mad. It felt like, to me, like, Jessica looked over at me as we were watching the episode, and she goes, that felt like an incredibly real moment. Like, mm-hmm. And it was really, like, it's always fun when the show highlights those real moments where Matt's like, Chris, I just need to hear from you. Like, what do you think of this? Because I'm concerned.
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic conversation. And you're right, it gave us a peek into, there's already a ton of pressure being the Bachelor and being the Bachelorette, you know, the lead of, like, one of the biggest television shows on television. So just to add even more pressure, and it felt like he was adding it kind of onto himself. You know what I mean? I felt like he was carrying a lot of weight on his shoulders. And with that conversation, he was able to, like, and I think maybe it did help, and it seemed to help, you know, after, you know, Chris, like, how do you feel? It's like, I feel better. So I'm glad they had that conversation and they showed it.
Yeah, the only thing, and this is such a nitpick about the conversation, I wish he would have just come over to his house and been like, hey, let's chat before, rather than having him, you know, pretend. I don't know, I'm sure the limos were about to arrive, but, like, for him to act as if he never talked to Harrison and all that before night one. I wanted them to, like, have, like, a cozy entrance for him.
Yeah, true. No, I see what you're saying. It did seem a little scripted at the beginning to get to the conversation, but then the conversation was real. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. The other thing that just made me feel like, oh, this guy hasn't gone through this before, was his conversation with his mom. Because while it was important, you can tell there was, like, two people being like, oh my God, I cannot believe we're talking about this on camera right now. This is so odd.
100%. I could tell his mom was like, a little nervous and uncomfortable, which I don't blame her, you know, because she didn't go through hometowns. You know, she didn't go through any of that. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I thought that was an interesting conversation, too, because she basically asked, like, when was the last time you were vulnerable? And Matt literally couldn't think of it. He was like, I don't know. It's been a long time. And I was like, oh, boy. Buckle up, buddy, because it's going to be, you're going to get vulnerable. Yeah.
My parents didn't have hometowns either during Caitlin's season. And so the very first time that they saw me on camera was as the Bachelor, like, a week into it, we came to Warsaw, Indiana. And I remember, like, looking at my parents at one point and being like, you just got to try to be normal. Like, you guys are so nervous right now. My dad is straight, sitting up all straight with the perfect posture. You know, they've decorated the house for this. I was like, mm-hmm. That's great. But you can see it in Matt's conversation with his mom. And it was probably the one part that, you know, I was most worried for Matt going
the
after.
The only part, yeah.
Because it seemed there like, we are going to get a robot. Like, we're going to get somebody who just says the right thing, who tries to keep conversation going. It's a little forced, a little awkward. Mm-hmm. And this is him with his mom. Just wait until the women come. But let's transition here, but we'll take a break first. We're going to talk about the women next and kind of seeing Matt's guard, in a sense, maybe go down. We'll be back with the Almost Famous Podcast.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about the women coming out of the limos. Wow, this is when he started to relax. You know, I'd say almost right away. We started to see a Matt that felt so natural in this role. I just think that it was pretty perfect, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think
do a better job.
Yeah, I was even surprised. Like, it is hard that night one. You know, it's hard. There's so much pressure, and that's the. I think I always say the night one. That's the only time, really, for me anyway, that it felt like it was a movie production.
Mm-hmm,
there's
mm-hmm.
like cameras everywhere. There's 30 producers and it's just like mayhem. And that's the only time I felt where it was like, oh my God, like, is this real? For me, was night one. And I thought Matt handled it great. And I think you're right. Like, right away, because the conversation he did have, you know, with Chris and his mom felt a little robotic, but I felt like right away with the women, he felt super comfortable, you know? And that's huge. And I hope he continues that way for sure.
It didn't hurt that you had women, I mean, coming out with like gusto. Like there was a lot of confidence displayed on night one from the women. Now, a lot of them are obviously nervous. I think most of them are. They've been locked in quarantine for, I mean, I think it's probably been a week to 5 days at this point. They're just getting released to the public. They meet Matt James, who is a good looking fellow who stands like 6'5". The guy's massive. He's in his suit. There's lights, there's cameras, there's action. But these entrances were some of the best, I guess, more shocking. Like I think most entertaining entrances that I've seen in a long time on the show. At least that's my opinion. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I thought they were pretty good. I thought it started like really normal, right? The first like three or four, I was like, they're just going up there saying hi to Matt and that's it. And then all of a sudden it like completely switched and there was a bunch of gimmicks and fun stuff.
I feel like that was intentional. I think those five women who we had slow entrances from are going to be the front runners. I also think that Matt perhaps was more at ease once the girls started coming through because he was like, oh, look, you've never been doing this before either. Me neither. We're both new here. And it was like a common bond.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was pretty cool to see. He was like, "That I can't remember which girl it was, but she was like, sorry, I'm shaking. Matt's like, so am I. We're both, you know, like we're both super nervous right now. That was a cool moment.
Well, obviously, some of the entrances that will get talked about and that we need to talk about, there is a vibrator that shows up on night one. It becomes a highlight of the whole episode. I mean, that thing is everywhere, and there's innuendos consistently throughout the episode about this vibrator. We also have somebody show up in lingerie and asked Matt to pick out the dress. And finally, I think the third one that stood out to me, and you guys might disagree with this, but somebody I'm very envious of. Because they kind of have this confidence that I did not exude on night one. They had a kind of a stillness and a calmness about him. It's MJ, who shows up in the pizza delivery car and locks the door, walks back around the car, unlocks the car, pulls out the pizza, and still has her wits together. I mean, those moments, you got to remember how nervous these girls are. And for her to keep her like mind at ease enough to know what to do there, like I wouldn't even know how to hardly open a car door. If it was night one all over again.
I completely agree with you, Ben. That was actually my favorite, not because of the pizza and all that, but because she handled herself so well and she was like, no way. She's like, no way that just happened, you know, and then she walked back around. I thought she handled herself fantastic. That was, I think, like her entrance, like her, not the gimmick, but like her entrance was one of my favorites.
Let's talk about the vibrator because I think the vibrator was funny to him right off the bat out of the limo, but I think it was not funny when she continued the theme throughout the night.
See, I actually do. I think it was funny just because the nerves, I think she calmed a lot of people down. I think also her personality, like if somebody else, let's say Victoria, for example, she I feel like she rubbed a few people the wrong way. If she had had the vibrator, I think it would have been bad. But I think her name was, is it Katie? Is that Katie was the one with the vibrator?
Yes.
Okay. I think she like personality wise, I don't think she was like, I think she just seems friendly. Like, I don't think she was doing it to like piss people off. So I like some of the innuendos here and there. Like I loved when Matt looked at it, lost his train of thought and started laughing. Like I thought that was fantastic by Matt.
That was funny.
Really showing some of his personality. I like that.
Yeah. Cause what do you say? Like, hey, nice vibrator. So, like, I don't know what you say.
He just lost his train of thought, you know, but
Mari certainly didn't like when she was tapped with it. I can't believe the drama she made about it though. Like she tapped me with the vibrator. She told that to everyone. It was like, no, you should have more of a sense of humor. I think that's a red flag that Mari might be taking everything too seriously in the future.
Yeah, I would have laughed about it too. If somebody tapped me on the shoulder of the vibrator.
Yeah.
I would say I watched it and on my notes here, it's a sign of things to come for Mari. I'm going to be very interested in watching her story because if that is something that gets under her skin,
I know.
It is a long road ahead of you, girl. Like there is going to be thing after thing after thing. Like you almost just have to pick your battles in your mind and say, is this something that really like I want to get upset about now? Or do I want to save this for the moment that like this really gets heated and really gets ugly? Now, tapping someone with a vibrator, like it's weird. Or like funny, or like it just make you giggle. Like I don't know, it doesn't make you mad. Like there's nothing about that like gets you heated up. It's just something. Well, one of the hidden gems that I want to talk about right off the bat here. There's a lot of women that came in. I mean, so many. When they stood up at the rose ceremony on night one, I looked around. I was like, that is a massive group of women. But somebody that stood out to me not exactly in their entrance, but with their story, is Maggie. Maggie's from Ethiopia. She's 32 years old. She's a model. Absolutely beautiful. Now, her story is something that's super intriguing, and I'm really excited to get her on the podcast at some point because I want to know what it's like to be in the United States for, I think it was 8 to 9 years now, to come over here for school to be a pharmacist. And somehow, some way, I have no clue if they didn't share it. She ends up on this show. Absolutely wild, but I am now convinced she's a front runner because I think Matt loves stories. And I think he loves hearing the heart and the soul of these women.
So yeah, I agree. She jumped off the screen at me. She's gorgeous. That accent, like, it works both ways. Men love accents too, you know, not just women. Like, she jumped off the screen at me. And I mean, it is pretty wild to think that, like, I think in her bio, it said something about her winning the lottery basically to come to America. And then she basically wins the lottery again to go on The Bachelor. It's a wild story. Yeah, I'm super excited to hear that. And I'm sure she'll get a one-on-one at some point, I hope.
Yeah, she carried herself with a lot of grace. I really got good vibes from her. Another story that we heard was from Abigail. Abigail is deaf. She has a cochlear implant, so she's able to hear well enough. And she speaks pretty much clearly. You wouldn't really pick up on the fact that she was having a hearing. She has a hearing problem. But she talked about that with him. And she also talked about her relationship with her sister and the way that he looked at her before going in for that kiss. I was like, oh, he is feeling it. And he was definitely having like a, oh, I'm the bachelor. Is kissing on the first night? Like, okay, I think I'm going to go for it moment. I loved seeing it evolve.
Yes, that's so, it's so true. They had this like weird, awkward, but it was like this weird.
No, it was
silence.
So awkward. It was like that first kiss, no, awkward. Can I kiss you? Can I not?
Cute moment, awkward.
Like he,
yeah,
he
it was just
back.
Like they like, kind of like looked at each other and she was like, is he going to kiss me? And then he was like, is she going to kiss me? And then she kind of started to talk again and Matt's like, you know what? F it. And just went in for it, which I thought was fantastic. Yeah. But so again, great. Yeah, them together. So she's my preseason fave. Like even before I watched this episode, I was like, I don't know, there's something about her like smile. Sometimes I feel like you can just, sometimes somebody's a good person. I could be wrong. I don't know. But I felt like he was super comfortable with her. For some reason, I just felt like he let his walls down more than anybody else he did that night, you know? So I'm excited to see their connection evolve.
I don't think we can downplay that kiss either. Like, I don't think Matt James is somebody that wants to go kissing too many people this season. In fact, I could almost go as far as saying, I know that. Like, I believe and am fairly certain that this isn't something that he's just going to throw around to fill awkward space. Like, he's not just going to kiss because the conversation's weird. So this kiss on night one, after a few minutes of knowing each other, I think is a big deal. Obviously, she gets the first impression rose, as we all know. But a big deal for, like, kind of the storyline that they're going to have. Because I think Matt James is smitten right away. And all he needs is to be smitten with one person.
Especially early.
I zoom her to top three already. I feel like our top three is almost, I mean, given the past few seasons have had sleepers who make top three. But if I had to choose, these are my top three. And I want you guys to give yours. Rachel, Bree, and Abigail.
So that's almost, those are, so I'm going to go top four. I'm going to go hometowns. I always go hometowns. But I also have Bree, Rachel, and Abigail in there. And then I think, who's the girl that was from, she had the truck, the pickup truck? She was from North Carolina.
Yeah, her name.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to think of her name. I can't remember it. But I think she, the sweet tea thing was super sweet. And he seems like they seem to click. And I think she might be the fourth in there. I don't know what order, but I think that's the four.
That's Kayla.
Kayla. Yes, I think Kayla. Yeah.
So my top three, I'm never good at this. I lose every time. And in fact, most of the girls I choose go home the second week. But I believe that I'm onto something this week. My top three right now are Abigail, Maggie, and Sine. And then I'll throw Rachel in as number four. I was just so into how into Rachel was to Matt. Like, I just thought that was the cutest thing ever. And I think she really likes him. So I'll use that as my top four. Again, that's Abigail, Maggie, Sine, and Rachel.
I love Rachel. I loved her dress. I loved her makeup. I love her face. I love her just personality, her vibes. I loved how moved she was by the prayer because the prayer did a lot for me too. I thought that was a beautiful way of starting the night and something we've never seen before. And it just did feel as Rachel said so authentic.
Yeah, she like didn't she like tear up almost like after his prayer? Yeah, I that stood out to me too. I was like, okay, like she seems super genuine. Yeah, I like her.
The prayer was a really pivotal point in the show, because I think it set the tone for who Matt James is, right, and what he's looking for. I think all these women right away knew Matt is a man of faith, that his faith is going to hopefully, well, it is going to guide him with, you know, good decisions, bad decisions. It's still going to guide him no matter what through this experience. And it also shows what he's looking for. He's looking for somebody to probably come into his life with him and share that faith, help grow that faith, explore that faith. And it was a great way to start the season. And here it might be the thing that surprised me most, right? Like, my faith is very important to me. I honestly never thought about starting my season out with a prayer. Never crossed my mind. Never even considered it. Now, say what you want about that, whatever. But for a guy to do that with no experience, with no prep for this, super nervous and says, no, this is how I'm going to do this. Like, this is going to be me from day one, I thought was an incredible thing for us to see him do as The Bachelor.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And he nailed the prayer too, because sometimes I think a prayer, it can alienate some people on occasion, like if you say it wrong. But it was never like, I hope that I find a wife. It was like, I hope we enjoy that. You know, it was all about we, like really was able to like bring people in. I thought it was fantastic too. And I didn't expect to like it. And I did.
Loved it. Loved it. And then another person that I think is worth mentioning about like having a strong right off the bat connection would be Bree, who, you know, Blake and I put into our top threes, fours. Bree was the person I thought was going to get the first impression rose, and was the person that I was comparing his conversation with Abigail to, because I just felt like both were deeper conversations. He was really connecting, looking at them in a way that he was like, I'm feeling this. With Bree, he was relating to her on the fact that they both come, they're both biracial, and they just seem to have very similar backgrounds. Both of their parents were divorced, and they had issues with romance because of it. So I really thought that was going to lead him to the first impression rose, but I'm happy with the fact that I would have been happy with either of the two of them getting it.
Well, let's move on to pause here for a second, talk about things now that we know about Matt. We've now gone through the entrances, the ones that stood out to us, the start of the show. But some of the things now that we know about Matt is that he's a Christian. He was raised in a Christian household, and he believes that still to this day. Also, that he's very close with his mom, mm-hmm. and his mom and dad separated when he was young. And the relationship with his dad isn't as much there, and I don't know to what extent yet, but it's not there. He didn't obviously have his dad show up to the show. He speaks about kind of being really close with his mom, so we kind of are getting the hint that him and his dad are not too close. Now, this obviously is a story that, you know, like as we talked about at the beginning of the episode, we thought we knew a lot about Matt, but this was something I didn't know, and something that takes a lot of vulnerability, as he asked for in the women, he asked for in himself, right away, is to share some of the things that are probably the hardest for him to speak about.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised how, because I know, like you said, we don't really know Matt going in. And I was surprised how much we already got to know about Matt, like within the first episode. I really feel like I got to know a lot about him. I think there's still more to come. But yeah, I mean, that's one thing that I didn't know. I didn't know his faith was as prominent in life as it is, you know? And so I think it's great to see this side of Matt.
I know we touched on it earlier, but it was just amazing how within this episode, I feel like he got to be so rootable, so well-liked, and people have never met him before. Just it's really crazy how attached I feel to him and how much I want him to find love through knowing him for an hour and 20 minute TV time.
We even got to see a little goofy side of Matt too. Like there was one moment where I was like, okay, Matt. And that's when he was playing chess and he like moved that one piece like wrong. And that girl was like, can you do that? He's like, no, I'm just playing. Just making sure you know how to do it. I was like, that was like, sometimes when you're too nervous, you don't mess or joke around like that, you know? So I think that showed that he was like relaxed a little bit in the role. And I was like, okay, like that was a funny move, you know, just those little mm-hmm. things sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I think it's almost promised that we're going to have two really good seasons back to back of The Bachelorette, now The Bachelor. But some side topics that don't really fit into anything, but that are obviously going to be big storylines that we need to bring up and discuss. Cynthia Raleigh's daughter, Kit, is now on the show. Kit came in. Cynthia Raleigh is obviously known in the fashion world. She's a huge name. Kit is obviously the one that kind of goes against Victoria, Queen Victoria, saying, no, I'm the president of the CEO, you know, whatever was going on there. What do you think about somebody that are, you know, she's considered a socialite already in New York. I think that's something to mention. What do you think of somebody that's already a socialite coming on to the show with the name that she has? There's going to be a lot of attention on her. Obviously, we're talking about her, and she really didn't have a big part in this episode.
Yeah, not really. I mean, yeah, the Victoria and Kit thing, I think is going to go. That might be the 2-on-1 this season. You know, I feel like that's going to be fun to watch. But I'll be honest, I, you know, reading her bio and the socialite thing, I was like, oh my God, this girl is going to be super, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, like, you know, confident. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, but honestly, I didn't think she came off as bad. I thought she was pretty sweet and everything, but we'll see if she can, you know, keep that up with it. Cause I think her and Victoria are going to have a pretty big feud. Yeah, I mean, all, no, you're right. I think she's going to have a bigger part the rest of the season than she did this episode.
Yeah. But I also feel like she'll be the person that we're really rooting for against Victoria, because Victoria was already driving me nuts the first night. And like, sometimes the villain can be funny at first, but like, I didn't find her funny whatsoever. I love the way Kit was standing up to her. I love Kit's sense of confidence. She might be a little bougie. But she really does. She like knows herself and she's not going to put up with any crap. Thinks she's really pretty and she's only 21. Yeah. She definitely comes across far more mature. Agreed. At least in the way that she handles herself now emotionally. We'll see.
Yeah. I thought it was super. You're right about Victoria. Like, I think some villains sometimes can be like a bit charming, mm-hmm, and kind of likable, but I'm scared for Victoria. I don't think she's going to come off that way. So it's gonna be an interesting season to see her. Yeah.
Yeah. But she's the kind of villain who, like, she was there, like she put herself there and gave herself this persona right off the bat on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. She's backing away from that persona, I don't think. Yeah.
It's just always shocking to me. Every season, it still shocks me. Like, I think it shows a lot about your character, right? We've talked about it with Tayshia. We talked about it with Claire. We've talked about it season after season, but you know that Matt James has a massive night in front of him. With trying to talk to every single one of these women, he is going to be exhausted. Like, understand what his role is right now. Yet somebody still chooses to interrupt him 2 or 3 times or however, thinking that like that is the right thing to do. At that point in time, I will say this for anybody watching the show. When somebody does that, your alert system should go off and go, I got to keep my eye out for this human because they are about to cause havoc. It happens every time, and somehow they do it year after year after year. And it's just not okay. It's not respectful of Matt. It's not respectful of the other women. It's exhausting. And ultimately, like, at some point, like, Matt has to look at Victoria and be like, can you just not for 5 minutes? Like, just give me breath. Well, another big story to discuss here is Heather M. Heather M. shows up in the highlights and the kind of the recap at the end of the episode. Do you think she shows up to the season? I mean, it looks like she does.
She shows up to be part of the season for sure. Whether or not she's let in, we don't know. It definitely seems like she's not the only girl that shows up beyond night one, too. There's another girl. It seems like she has closer ties to Matt. With Heather, I'm thinking because she's such close friends with Hannah that she was like, Hannah was encouraging her to do it and thinking that they'd be a good match, but not coming on night one is a no-no. If you're Heather, you try to come on night one and that'll be fine and totally fair.
Yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, you're right. Like, she must obviously come on to try and be on the show, whether Matt lets her in or not, or they, you know, she gets a rose or not. But that's the only, I was trying to think of like a connection between them, but it really is only Hannah B. Like, I don't know if Heather's maybe hung out with Matt before, you know, pre-show, like at some kind of event or something, she hit it off. Maybe that is good. Maybe there's something we don't know. Maybe they did have like a connection at some event or something. But as far as I know, Hannah B is the only connection they really have. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
And then the final one is Tyler eventually makes an appearance. Now, we just talked about Tyler earlier, you know, how Matt was going to manage, you know, being known kind of as Tyler's friend for a while, now being the Bachelor. But Tyler does come on to this season. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I'm not shocked. You know, I figured Tyler would come on. And I try and, like, think of it, like, there's been a lot of people who come on. I mean, there was, for Hannah B, it was, like, Demi, and someone else. Can't remember. They
yeah,
did
the best friends like always show up. Now.
Yeah, so I don't want to read into it too much. Like, oh, look, they're trying to bring Tyler in to steal some of Matt's spot. Like, I'm not trying to think of it as they were really close even before show. So it's even better than bringing in like Demi for Hannah because they've known each other for years, you know? And so I hope, hopefully they do have an actual like good conversation and they get advice and things. So.
But what I'd want for Tyler is for him to come in later, like when we get to top six or whatever, so we can like actually get a good evaluation of what he thinks of his remaining ladies.
Did it seem like he came in super early? I couldn't tell.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like it's probably going to be middle at least.
So like 10 or something, yeah.
Those screeners always confuse me. I'm always up in arms. Yeah, they say something, and there's a word taken out of place, and all of a sudden I'm watching for it all season. You know, there's an ambulance that comes up, and somebody's sick, and it ends up just, you know, being nothing. But, well, okay, let's end this thought with this. Blake, we're going to bring you back after the break to talk a little bit about you and break down some headlines with you. But to sum up this episode, I want to hear your ratings and your final thoughts. So anything we didn't get to, please share and also give your rating on the premiere episode of Matt James' season. We'll start with Blake.
So you want like a rating of the
one
episode?
To 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
1 to 10 rating of 1 to 10. Let's see. Honestly, it was a good first episode. I think mostly because I got to know Matt more than I thought I would. I thought it would be, you know, sometimes this first episode, since we already know the lead, we get more of like the girls. But I thought I really got to know Matt here. I'm going to give it a solid hard 8. I'm going to give it a hard 8 because I always leave room for improvement. So I'm going to give it a hard 8.
Oh, crap. You took my number. I was going to give it an 8 too. I would normally give an episode like this a 7. I feel like, you know, it's a little too methodical night one at this point. But I'm giving it an 8 because it did do such a good job at getting us attached to Matt. And it really highlighted him. As far as Matt as the Bachelor, I'm going to give him a 10 so far in this episode.
I would give it an 8 and a 10 as well. Matt being the Bachelor is a 10, considering everything that went on. I thought it was a great episode. I really enjoyed getting to see these women. I thought, unlike last season at the very beginning, I felt like we really got to know more of the personalities of these women right off the bat. Like, there's some women that I could like that stood out to me that I know the names of after week one, which I didn't know until week four of last year, you know, of the Bachelorette season. A great episode. I'm looking forward to it for the future. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we're going to have Blake on still to talk about his life and everything going on with the rumors of Becca Kufrin and his opinion on the Kelly and Peter breakup. We'll be back. We still have Blake on. Blake, here's the headline from Us Weekly. I'm going to read it to you, and I just want to hear you respond. Says Blake Hortzman claps back at, and I quote, stupid comment after supporting Peter Weber amid split from Kelly Flanagan.
Wait, what? No, what's the headline?
Well, let me repeat it. This is a good moment for us. You're going to learn about it as well.
Wait,
it's according to Us Weekly.
My name's in the headline?
Wait, yeah, it says Blake Hortzman claps back at stupid comment after supporting Peter Weber amid split from Kelly Flanagan. Let me read it to you. Bachelor Nation bros, Blake Hortzman took aim at an insensitive comment after showing his support for Peter Weber amid the pilot split from girlfriend Kelly Flanagan. Keep your head up, brother. Hortzman 31 commented beneath Weber's breakup announcement, to which one Instagram user replied, this is a stupid thing to say to someone. The Bachelor in Paradise alum fired back. What you said is a stupid thing to say to someone.
God, they will write an article about anything, I swear. Like, I had no idea that was even out there. I just wrote underneath, you know, like when, you know, when I would do it under friends, you know, pictures. And I was like, yeah, keep your head up. And somebody was like, that's a stupid thing to say. I was like, what, really? Like, I feel like what you just said is a stupid thing to say. Yeah, these situations are always really hard and tempers are high and everything because, you know, everybody's got their faves. And, you know, so it's always, I always get funny. Anytime I comment on somebody's photo in Bachelor Nation, I get some kind of either stagecoach joke in there or I get somebody saying something. So I'm used to it.
Well, that article is out there, so I'm glad you could respond to it.
Yeah, appreciate that.
So do you know anything about their breakup?
No, I don't actually. I really don't. I was shocked when I remember waking up in the morning. I saw the post. I was like, oh my God. Like, I feel like they were just going to move in New York. And I don't know. I guess I think they're obviously something's going to come out. I think it happened just so fast that something must have drove them to that. It wasn't really and they didn't even take time. Like,
you know, some people would be broken up for like 3 months and then post a picture and like, you know, and a com, you know, a post with a caption and everything, but that was quick. So, I mean, there's no hope of getting back together. I feel like then they didn't think there was any promise in that. So I don't know. It's interesting. We'll see what happens, but I don't know anything.
All right. Well, Ben and I are going to discuss more about their breakup later in headlines, but more headlines pertaining to you. Last week, we discussed how Becca Kufrin revealed on her Instagram stories that your date during her season was her favorite. It was a little shady towards her ex-fiance, Garrett. How did it feel to see that up there?
I mean, that date was a lot of fun. Okay, that date was great. If you guys remember, like, we got to break all of, like, no shade to Ari, but, like, we got to break all of Ari's stuff, you know, and, like, kind of, like, quote unquote, like get rid of the memory of Ari so she can move on. So I don't know. The date was fantastic. Listen, I think people read into it like they do everything, read into it a lot. You know, it wasn't like, what's your most romantic date? It was like literally, what's your, you know, most fun date? And like she said that one. So, but I mean, yeah, it was a fun date. So it felt good, I guess. It was a fun date. And I agree. That was probably my favorite date, one of the my favorite dates that I've done, whether it be Bachelorette or Paradise. So
did that stir up any sort of like DMing between you two?
Well, we've been in, you know, contact, like DMs and stuff. On, like, we're friends, you know, so it's not like we haven't DM'd before. But of course, I was like, oh, okay. Like, I reposted it, actually, I think I reposted it. So, yeah, of course, we, like, talk on a through DMs.
I mean, I know we asked you this last time, and it was also post-breakup, but, like, no rekindling there ever?
No, we're still just friends. We're still just friends. No, we support, but support each other.
Is that where that ends? Still just friends?
Yes, still just friends. But it is pretty cool to see all the support out there. A lot of people want us to get back together. I've been seeing that like crazy. But no, we are still just friends, guys.
I think I can officially speak on behalf of us that we are shipping this. But we also may be shipping you and Elise, who have been spending a lot of time together. And I know that last time we asked you, you guys were also still just friends. But it seems a little bit more suspicious now because of all these Insta stories you've been posting.
We really are. Me and Elise are like really close friends. I met her at the Bachelor Live on stage, and then she came to my DJ set out there in Scottsdale, and we just became friends. Then over, you know, the pandemic, we talked here and there. And no, she's just a good person, and you know, she's always somebody easy to talk to and can be there for you. And so she's just been there. And then I just happened to be out in Scottsdale for a golf tournament, and I went and hung out with her, and she like made me a funny ugly Christmas sword with my face on it, that kind of thing. No, me and Elise are just friends. We always have been. She's great. So
we can confirm she's been great to us in the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
She's been awesome really since the beginning of this podcast, kind of supporting us, helping us out, and then coming on and sharing wisdom and advice with us. So hey, we love Elise also. We as well. Ashley and I are just friends with her.
But we it's like anytime I hang out with anybody, you know, any female, any of the opposite sex, I'm dating, you know, or we're hooking, you know, so comes with the territory.
All right, well, you led yourself here. When was the last time you went on a real date?
I mean, I keep my dating history private, Ashley. Oh, super private.
Okay.
We did watch the football game together this weekend, if that counts.
We did. Yeah, and Ben had a big date this weekend.
That was nice.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Okay, well, you guys, we asked Blake a whole bunch of questions about whether he would ever do Bachelor in Paradise or anything in the franchise ever again during our in-depth episode, which is, you know, it's an evergreen episode. If you guys didn't catch it back in April, you can go back and listen to that now. It was April 16th release. And Blake, I have no further questions.
Okay. I blame all of this on you, Ash. You and Jason started this Becca thing, so that's on you.
Sorry.
Just kidding.
It should continue too.
It's not gonna slow down.
If it's up to me, it should just keep happening until it happens. Well, hey everybody, if you want to hear more of Blake and his co-host Eric, make sure you listen to Behind the Rose. That's everywhere you can listen to the podcast. Blake Horseman, thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing the time. And we'll be talking to you, I'm sure, again sometime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Good seeing you.
Bye. Good seeing you.
Bye.
We're back with another breakdown of Bachelor headlines. They continue to flow in, and we continue to talk about them. This week's top headline is one that we've hinted at, discussed, but we're shocked by. Bachelor's Peter Weber and Kelly Flanagan split. The quote is, "These moments in life always hurt." This is according to Us Weekly.
Were we the only ones that were shocked by this? Apparently, there have been signs on their social media, but I guess I don't keep enough tabs on them to know that they hadn't been featuring each other lately. I did have a little red flag go up in my head during Christmas week when they weren't spending Christmas together. Yeah. But I was like, hey, 9-month relationship, I don't know. I don't think you have to spend, or there's an expectation to spend Christmas together 9 months in.
Yeah, and but I heard something. I don't know if it's true or not. Our listeners always know this more than we do sometimes. But I heard that Kelly Flanagan was wearing Peter Weber like face socks on Christmas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I guess this was a thing. And so it's obviously happened in a short amount of time where things, you know, maybe they were rocky before and this just was kind of something happened that kind of made them decide, hey, this isn't for the best. But yes, I would say that you and I both are shocked. Like, without social media, this seemed like a couple who had made it through quarantine, mm-hmm. who were traveling together, who were obviously connecting each other's families. It was surprising to me that they are no longer in a relationship.
Yeah, and apparently one of the dividing moments for them was like the move to New York, because I know that in our hot topics in the past few months, we've been talking about how they planned on moving to New York together, but that somehow created a point of division for them. So who knows what's there. You can, of course, dissect and analyze their two separate Instagram posts. Peter posted on the 31st of December. Kelly posted on January 3rd. It seems like they're on good terms. Kelly says that they're in two different stages of their life and saw their future paths differently. And then Peter said that, you know, they decided to go their separate ways. Love can make you feel on top of the world. It can make you feel pain you wish you didn't have to exist. He said that they have countless beautiful memories. The relationship simply didn't work out. Kelly is someone that he'll always have a special love for. So we don't have details, of course. You know, they're not going to air right away what happened. But they seem on good terms. And, of course, Peter's mom, Barb, had to speak up on behalf of the breakup. And she had to do it publicly. So she wrote under Peter's Instagram saying, "Love can be fickle, and it is not for the timid. Those who have experienced it know this all too well, but it is better to have loved and lost than have never to loved at all. Our hearts ache for you too. Kelly will always have a piece of our hearts, and we wish her only the best. Mom and Dad."
I'd also like to take a second here and say that I found out this week that Barb is on Cameo. So she might be the only parent that's ever gone on the show that has a Cameo or a own brand, per se, for herself.
I think that Barb costs as much as Jared and I do on Cameo.
Well, there you go. I don't know how that makes you feel. Well, this headline is one that I'm glad we're talking about. There was rumors and there was questions about Zach Clark, who obviously Tayshia picked in the end and who is now happily engaged to Tayshia. You know, there was drinks shown of him. He was shown drinking something during the show. And so people wondered, well, if you are sober, how are you drinking on the show? This is according to People. Ashley, what do we got?
Well, he was always drinking apple cider or ginger ale. And I'll tell you, apple cider and ginger ale sound a lot more appealing than the champagne that they give you at rose ceremonies. Do you remember the taste of that champagne?
Yeah. It's like
it
so
is the
dry.
Cheapest champagne. Oh, it's so bad. It has a specific... It's a specific taste. And every time I have a glass of champagne on the set of The Bachelor or whatever, I get thrown back to a rose ceremony and like having the ease, like that like post-traumatic stress, sorry, bad term, but you know what I mean, of going through a rose ceremony and that sweet relief of getting through. So it's just one of those tastes that's so nostalgic to me. It's just not good. And now I'm rambling. The bottom line here is Zach never drank. And there was a moment, I think it may have been the top four rose ceremony, when Tayshia said that she got handed a glass of champagne and she said no. She sent it back and asked for some apple cider to join Zach in drink it in not drinking. And she said that that was one of the moments that she knew when she just made that impromptu decision.
Oh, how sweet. Well, yes, it is true that you know what my theory is? That the champagne is just saved over season to season. Like, why are you buying brand new bottles of champagne every season? So yeah, there could be champagne on there from like Bob Guinea season that now we're consuming, which, hey, champagne might be better. I don't know.
Super just, vintage?
Yeah, we'll call it that. Well, this headline is one that's been talked about all week, but not shocking to anybody who is in Bachelor Nation, who has been on the show, or anybody that's ever watched the show. However, it has been an interesting story to see unfold. The headline reads this: Chris Harrison not leaving Bachelor franchise despite move to Texas. Yes, the move to Texas is confirmed.
Yeah,
but
you guys,
Chris Harrison's going nowhere.
Yeah, this is just no. You don't put these two together. Just to let you know, they only film about 2 weeks in LA. And in those 2 weeks, well, Harrison stays in his house because his house is very close to the Bachelor Mansion. But most of the production crew stays in a hotel those 2 weeks anyway. So if Harrison is getting rid of his California house, and I would assume that he's probably going to have some place he keeps there, even if he's like, you know, downsizing, he films maybe a total of 1 month out of the year in LA on a typical non-COVID year. So I think that he can keep his primary home in Texas and fly out to wherever they're shooting, which, let's hope, starting, I don't know, next Bachelor season, they're able to travel again, but who knows? Anyway, you guys, logically, this makes total sense for him to be able to live anywhere he wants in America and continue to be the host of The Bachelor.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many positives to living in Texas. L.A. obviously is going to look different here post pandemic than it did before. There's a lot of people moving, and a lot of stars do travel for work. Ryan Seacrest is one of those. You know, he's like bi-coastal. He goes from L.A. to New York for the Ryan and Kelly show and then back for American Idol and his radio show. This isn't shocking, but
Matthew McConaughey lives in Texas full-time.
Definitely. So Chris Harrison is from Texas. He's moving back to Texas to be closer to his family. Good for him.
He also has a new, or it's, I don't know if it's completely new, but you know that he has that bar.
Yeah, he's a big brewery that he's highly invested into. So good for Chris Harrison. He's not going anywhere. You don't have to worry about that, Bachelor Nation. That guy is here to stay, and he just doesn't age. So why would we want him to go? Well,
it's better with age. So much sexier now than he was a decade ago.
This headline reads, and it's one that we've been interested about kind of behind the scenes and waiting to update you on until there is more information kind of communicated. But Ryan Sutter opens up about no longer feeling alone amid mystery illness.
Well, we still don't know what he has, which I cannot imagine how that feels to be going through. But he said that he learned a lot about resiliency this year. He said for years he's followed this ideal laid out by Gandhi, that strength was measured by an indomitable will. He says he pushed himself to develop a mindset where he would never give up, never give in, never give off any sign of weakness. He did this mostly on his own, choosing solitude as his practice. But he said he had a few breakdowns that he said that he had a few breakdowns, but mostly he said he internalized difficulty and distracted himself from the presence through physical exertion. He says this worked for him. He said he felt confident, resilient until this year. And this year, he says that he's learned to ask for help, to lean on people around him. He said that Trista has developed a medical strategy to aid him. And he says that though he believes that there is a tremendous value in strong will and self-reliance, he says he now realizes that sometimes those things are romantic excuses. So like nice ways of being stubborn. He says that it is sometimes necessary to let others in and to ask for help and to be able to accept it.
We're with Ryan. We'll continue to keep everybody updated as we hear more. It is good to hear that his strength internally has continued to show through and that he doesn't feel alone. Being alone has to be one of the worst feelings any human can feel. And so we're with Ryan and anybody else out there really during COVID that's feeling alone. That's just not fun. And so reach out for help when needed. We have another kind of surprising illness that's hit Bachelor Nation. Bachelorette alum Emily Maynard reveals she was diagnosed with Bell's palsy while pregnant with fifth child. Now, Ashley, I have recently learned of how common Bell's palsy is. I've had a friend whose father had it when we were children. I was kind of shocked, like, when it happened, right? Your face kind of has a lot of weakness, and your muscles kind of lose their ability to function. But it's more common in people than I knew. And, well, Emily Maynard has announced that she had Bell's palsy.
Okay, so exactly my feelings. I was like, oh, my God, Emily had Bell's palsy, or she has Bell's palsy. That's so serious, you know? Like, I was just thinking that this was, like, a really big deal, and it was going to last her whole life. But apparently it comes in increments, or like it's often just temporary. Nobody knows the exact cause of the condition, which is super crazy. But she had it while she was pregnant, had to wear a patch, but it seems like she's fine now. I mean, was your friend's dad like just all of a sudden, like one day he had strength come back to his face?
Yeah, it's kind of a more gradual process, I remember. So like, you know, you start feeling like the twitching and the ability for your face to kind of function again, and it comes back slowly, but it's common for it to, it's most of the time temporary. At least that's according to the Mayo Clinic. But it isn't uncommon. And, but it's still, I mean, a very scary thing to have happen when your face, you know, kind of loses its ability to function in the ways that you're normal with. Well, Bachelorette alum Lauren Bushnell and country singer Chris Lane reveal their baby's sex. This according to Good Morning America.
Well, what a cute gender reveal. So they're having a boy. And if you guys saw on Lauren's Instagram, she posted a video of them finding out. So they set up a golf ball that was filled with a powder, blue powder. And Chris hit it off the tee and it exploded into, you know, a little blue smoke. And he was geeking out. It was so cute. It's like, we see so many of these gender reveals these days that it's like, woohoo, yay, right? But like this one actually gave me feelings because this man was so excited about having a boy. Did you watch, Ben? Is that you? That you'd watch, right? That's not weird.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not weird. Of course. And I mean, the best thing is he says he has his own little golfing buddy now. So, I mean, come on. My dad and I are getting ready for the Diamond Resorts tournament here in just 2 short weeks. One of the coolest things is he caddies for me because we've grown up playing so much golf together. That's like one of the things that we get to do, that we share, that we can still do, you know, when I was young and he was younger. Now that he's older and I'm getting older, we can still do it the same way we did it before. Like, I think Chris is spot on. Like, one of the coolest things you can do in life is play golf with your son or daughter. But it's really fun to go out and play golf with your dad. It really helps bond you, and I know I always look forward to it. So congratulations to Chris and Lauren. A baby boy is on the way.
Hey, Ben, how do you feel about gender reveals? They're great for the gram, but I don't know if I can do one.
Well, yeah, they're great for the gram. I didn't know they were a thing before social media.
They weren't a thing before social media.
But, I mean, they work, right? Like, it's a fun thing to do. I'm sure one day, if all goes well, I'll be able to have a gender reveal of some sort. It'll be fun for the family. I think one of the coolest parts about a gender reveal is probably the celebration with family afterwards. Like, the whole moment of, like, you know, finding out is cool. But it doesn't, you know, maybe it does. Parents, let me know if I'm wrong. It doesn't change anything. Like, you're going to love that child the same way if it was a boy or a girl, but it's exciting to find out the gender and then celebrate whatever that, you know, the child's going to be with your friends and family. I mean, that's kind of fun. It's another reason to have a party.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of need a private moment.
That's fair too. Well, you can have that.
We'll see. We'll play it by ear. Maybe for the first one, you do it. And then for the second one, private moment. Who knows? Anyway, moving on to our last headline.
The Bachelorette's Mikey Tenorelli. Now, here's something funny. I was just looking up Mikey Tenorelli last evening. Now, it wasn't because of his engagement. It was because Elise Delbaum had posted on her Instagram. She was at some market shopping, and she saw this, like, wet, heated pad. So like it was a pad that you got wet and then you heated it and it went on your body and helped relieve like muscle pain. Mm-hmm. Why you would want a wet heat, I don't know that yet.
Yeah, that's, I don't want wet heat.
I think the package said moist, which is just a really awkward word to use in marketing. But anyways, the cover of this package had Mikey on it. And I was like, I know, I recognize this guy. I just don't know how. And so I was researching it, found out it was him, and then find out that he's engaged to Kate Wood. And it, quote, is best day of my life, is according to People.
Very happy for Mikey. I was down in Bachelor in Paradise 2 with Mikey. He, within an hour, picked my sister up and carried her into the ocean. He had a big crush on her for a little bit. Oh, okay, well, maybe not a big crush, but he had immediate attraction to her. And it was funny because that is not her type. But anyway, I am very happy because this is a guy that you could tell really wanted a wife and family, and now he's got it. So good, you know, good luck and best wishes for them. They got engaged at Nub's Nob in Michigan, like right on the ski slope. So it's very, very sweet to see this.
It's actually Nub's Knob.
Nub's Knob.
Noob's
Knob.
Yeah, Noob's Knob.
Oh, you've been there. Okay. Yeah,
but you get it. Well, hey, happy for Mikey. Happy for Kate. Ashley, tell me this. We've now broken down the episode. We've watched the premiere episode. How excited are you for this season of The Bachelor?
Well, I'm very excited for Matt to hopefully find love. I'm a little bit worried that he's going to freaking freak out and like he's going to scare himself off.
Don't we all? I mean, hey, it just happens during that show. In fact, I was talking to a couple past Bachelors during the episode, and the agreement with all of us, we were all saying the same thing, like, hey, it really looks like this hurts him. And knowing Matt, you know, I know it hurts him, but he does break down. But here's the truth. So does everybody else. Like, nobody makes it through this thing unscathed, unemotional. It's one of the, in a sense, the most beautiful parts of the show is it pulls out raw emotion. Now, when that emotion is manipulated, not cool. But when that emotion then transforms into a love story, or it transforms into one of these contestants becoming a better human, it's really, really cool. And I believe that Matt is a great human going in. He'll be an even better human going out. And I'm super pumped for this this season. I think it's going to be absolutely incredible.
Well, one thing I can say I'm sure of is that he does not leave this experience not having experienced love. He's definitely going to fall in love.
I think he will too. That man has a big old heart, and I think he has some contestants that I'm super excited to see their stories kind of transform and evolve in front of our very eyes. Well, hey, with that, this has been another episode of the Almost Famous Podcast. Yes, this is Matt James's week one premiere episode. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Almost Famous Podcast, breaking down Matt James's second episode that is promised to be something incredible. With that, I've been Ben.
And I've been Ashley. Bye, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.